The Carmel Greyhounds are back in action, and so is the WHJE sports team. But this year is better than ever. John Perkins and Jesse Smith bring you the same expertise with a new sense of style. We're taking this football season to the edge.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, I'm John Perkins. Of course, that's Jesse Smith. And of course, we're bringing you Friday night football action here at Carmel Stadium. It's been a fantastic game so far, folks. Again, for those of you who are maybe sitting at home listening to the radio, keep doing that. But if you want, you can tune in to ESPNU. They are covering this game. They've overhauled Carmel Stadium, and man, have they done an awesome job. 12-6 in favor of Pike. They're here visiting tonight. And man, Jesse, they have come out and really played some great ball. What have you seen so far from Pike that stood out to you?
Offensive efficiency is definitely, I think, the key so far to this game. For both sides, and we saw that from Carmel there on their last drive, but going back to Pike, the play action has been spectacular. We saw them convert on third down multiple occasions. Nick McGrath, you know, more known as the blocking tight end, but we saw him in the last couple of games run some excellent routes, and he was able to come up with a big 27-yard reception to set it first and goal inside the Carmel 5-yard line, and then the easy run, two of them actually by Wilkerson for the score. That's why we are at 12-6.
And then flip the sides of the field, and you go to Carmel, who's come out kind of slow. They had one drive where it was just rough, kind of needed to get their feet wet. You could tell Isaac James was just getting going a little bit, but then they brought in John Lampe, and again, there's a reason he's the senior, there's a reason he's the leader. He does it so well. He commands that team. He's got great poise. He does a great job of balancing the pocket there, and what I mean by that is he's able to use that run to his advantage. Give credit to Shakir Pascal, Chris Perkins. I can go on and on. They're really starting to play some solid ball, and I think we're going to see that score deficit diminish a little bit here.
And all of a sudden, we see John Lampe with 54 passing yards there in the first quarter, on pace again for what would be his fifth 200-yard game of the season. So third and three on the way for the Pike Red Devils. They jog back over towards the sideline to meet with that huddle. We got ourselves 12 minutes of football remaining here in the first half. Pretty slow-moving first quarter, as we saw there. But again, 12-6 is your score in favor of the Pike Red Devils. We're going to get back to football here shortly.
I think it's important. You mentioned his name before, Nick McGrath. You know, I had the opportunity to watch some of his film last game, and he really came out as a tight end. And we oftentimes it's easy to say, man, they should run play action. They should run play action. They should run play action to keep this unpredictable, you know? But it's so hard to run play action at this age. Same with the option. Teams that can run play action in the option, they really do have an advantage against other ball clubs. It just creates an extra level of surprise. And I think it keeps the defense kind of on their toes, and it keeps you guessing, really, when you're making that defensive play call. Should we blitz here? Should we not? Should we keep a QB? All that kind of comes into question when you've got a good team that can run some good misdirection.
I think the concept of using a tight end as more of a receiver is something we haven't seen from really any team this year. So another dangerous weapon for Pike to utilize here. As you know, he may only get a couple catches a game, but even if that's his only catch tonight, he's done his job.
When you even see the rarity of it at the NFL level, you know, Dallas Clark was a great example of a receiving tight end. And Pike's done a good job to tap into that and really use Nick McGrath as that guy.
Wing T formation now, three wide set, two out to his left as he takes the snap. Looks up the middle for Wilkerson. He's going to be stopped short, about a yard short of the first down here at about the 39-yard line. It's going to be close to the chains. That one looks to be just short, sending up a fourth and one. They're going to look this one over, possibly sending out the measurement crew, but not thinking twice as Lyles is going to stay out there regardless. So it will be a fourth down in inches here. And it looks like we are going to get the official measurement as the chains will come out onto the field. Officials want to make sure they got this one right. So with that being said, 11:55 remaining in the first half. Pike leads 12-6, and this would be a huge shift in momentum for the Carmel Greyhounds if they are able to make the defensive stop. Measurement coming from the officials. This one moving out awfully close. Inches we're speaking of here. And that one's going to be enough for the first down and a new set of downs coming for the Pike Red Devils. You couldn't really get much closer than that.
First down, Red Devils.
So at the 40-yard line of their own, Carmel Greyhounds trying to shut the door here before they get into their territory. Lyles trots back out on the field. They're going to have Sanders as the tailback. Four wide set, three out to his left. From that right hash at his own 40-yard line, Lyles from the shotgun tries to go hard count. Twice he tries to go hard count. Cromwell defense not budging there. Looks like Anthony Maz is going to be showing a little blitz from his rover position. Takes a snap now. Option run over to, looks like, they find a man at about the 50-yard line. That's Booth on the carry. He gains himself about 9 yards there on first down, setting up a second and one.
And that's a great example there of how that fake on the option, you see that little two-second fake there from Brent Lyles can throw Anthony Mazza off. He bit in too hard, and then, again, just runs right around him, and he's playing catch-up.
They're looking screen to Booth this time. He takes a big shot but shakes that one off from Akins. He's going to be brought down well behind the line of scrimmage. Loses about 3, maybe 4 yards off the screen, but good job maintaining possession there. That one would have been a fumble. Brought down. Great job by Akins with the initial stop. Nowhere for Booth to go. Sets up a 3rd and 4 now. So manageable now for the Cromwell Greyhounds after they had the 2nd and 1. From their own 46-yard line, 4 wide set, 3. Out to his right, they put Booth in motion to carry up the middle, trying to get Sanders across. He's not going to make it in time, and that's going to be a 4th and 2. So good job by the Cromwell defense staying composed, but they might have to stay on there for one more field as Lyles is trying to appeal this one. Vic Rowe trots out onto the field. It looks like we might have a different formation coming up here, but Lyles goes under center. Single back now. They try to rush it up the middle. We have whistles and a timeout from Pike, making sure all personnel are on the same page here. That will be the first timeout used by either team tonight. Cromwell will have 3 remaining, and Pike will have 2.
For 50 years, WHJE Radio has been your local source for Greyhound football. Join John Perkins and Jesse Smith for the 2013 football season as they bring expert analysis straight to your dial. 91.3 WHJE Carmel.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this WHJE production of Carmel RC Football. If you are just tuning in, my name is Jesse Smith with your play-by-play alongside, as always, John Perkins with your color commentary. 10:39 remaining here in the first half, and Pike leading 12-6. And we got ourselves a big play coming up, a 4th and 2 from Pike's 48-yard line as their offense trots out on the field along with the Carmel defense.
Still is a very gutsy call. The ball only at the 49-yard line, it looks like, of, Pike. So per se, a turnover here. Carmel's going to have some good field position about the 50-yard line, and John Lampe and that offense has been rolling. This is a big 4th down here for Pike.
They line up in the I formation. That one to Wilkerson. Wilkerson trying to shake some tackles, and Mitch Davis makes the stop. The last man standing. He's going to bring him up a yard short, and the Carmel Greyhounds are going to start with some excellent field position.
And see, that's why you can blitz your secondary there. Look at Mitch Davis and Jack Conway going 3 and 4 on the defensive leaderboards with 26 tackles for Conway, and now it looks like 22 for Davis. So you can't complain when you've got a secondary who can play like a linebacking core.
So they will be at the 49-yard line of the Pike Red Devils now. Let's see what quarterback trots on the field. It looks like Lampe again for this drive. He was on the field all last drive. Passing game looked excellent.
I think that's a smart decision. He's obviously the one who's captaining his team the best, and not to take anything away from Isaac James because he had to come out here and throw 2 balls. But again, you said this in the pregame, Jesse, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
So 4 wide set as they're going to move. Looks like the tight end, that one being Becker. Over towards the left side, Lampe rolls out to his left, finds Baldridge. Baldridge shakes a tackler, 35-yard line, tries to cut back upfield. He's going to finally be pushed out, gaining every single possible yard he can by staying in bounds. And he's going to be brought out at the 28-yard line, the passing game, moving the chains once again off the gain of 21. An excellent pass there, rolling out to his left across his body, not the easiest one to make. Lampe will jog off the field for Isaac James now, immediately trying to hurry this one up at the line. They're going flex bone set, 2 wide set. Lampe putting Perkins in motion immediately. Now Perkins has to reset, as well as the Pike defense. A lot of hurry up coming up there from Isaac James. He looks over towards the sideline. Now gives the signals. 28-yard line of Pike. James under center puts Roberts in motion this time, and he's going to keep this one, actually. It looks like Pascal has it off that left tackle. He barrels through to the 19-yard line. Pascal has himself a gain of 9 up the middle.
So kind of unusual from Shakir Pascal. You know, they use him for that 3- and 4-yard gain, the 3rd and 4th down conversions, but a nice job of really spreading it out and making some things happen on the left side of the field.
Same formation now. Under center, they put Perkins in motion. Now he has to go back and reset. James calling the direction at the line of scrimmage. 2nd and 1 from the 19-yard line. Inside the red zone now are the Carmel Greyhounds. James tries to go hard count. He hands that one up to the tailback again. That one looks like Pascal, and he's at the 15-yard line. He gains a 1st down on 2 carries. So moving the chains, that stops the clock at 9:44 remaining in the first half. Trying to possibly tie this one up. They are at 1st and 10 at the 15-yard line off the left hash. And James, slowing down the offense right here, comes out in the pistol formation. Actually more of a wing T, as we saw in the last couple of opponents. Tries to go hard count. Now looks over towards the sideline. Now a little explanation on this formation. He has Roberts right next to him like a shotgun, but has Perkins behind him like the pistol formation. He keeps this one up the middle, and he's going to be brought down at about the, looks like the 14-yard line, so 2nd and 9. Just trying to get back to the line of scrimmage with James. And it looks like Lampy's going to come back onto the field. James doing a nice job in his little bit of time there on the field, gaining the 1st down and setting up the 2nd and 9 as Lampy comes back onto the field. And now this is a situation you could do either. Opens up the playbook, but Lampy, more of the passer. Well, we've seen him run quite a bit tonight. Pistol formation, 4 wide set. And that moves Roberts in motion. The handoff to Perkins up the middle. He's going nowhere. In fact, he's going backwards at about the 16-yard line is where they're going to give him forward progress, 3rd and 11 on the way.
And, Jesse, I like how you mentioned Isaac James doing a good job with really the time he's been given. I think it's tough. Any coach knows that, you know, kind of the unspoken rule of sports is that you don't go, hey, coach, I want to play this position. You say, hey, coach, where can you use me? And I think Isaac James is a great example of that. Obviously, a receiver at heart, has done an incredible job at really listening to his coaches and doing a good job at quarterback, filling in that role and providing just some good selfless football.
Incredible athlete. I don't think we give him enough credit on that. 4 wide set from the pistol. They're looking towards the end zone in Baldwin, and that one's going to be incomplete, just sailing over his head a little bit there. Had the idea there, but 4th and 11 on the way, and this is a situation. You got a kicker who's got quite a leg. It's a 30-plus yard attempt, but on 4th and 11, John Lampy's looking over towards the sideline now. It looks like we are going to see Kramer with the first field goal attempt for him since the Lawrence Central game in week 4. So Kramer is going to have himself about 33-yard attempt when it all is said and done. Baldwin, the receiver with some great hands, will be on the hold. Will be a 33-yard attempt coming up for Adam Kramer. Has made it from longer so far this year. 8:09 remaining in the first half. Precious points coming up for the Greyhounds if he can convert. The kick is up. That one is up. Kramer waiting for the official signal. That one is no good. And Kramer having himself a little bit of a rough night in the kicking game. So that still remains 6-12. Pike has the lead with 8:05 remaining in the first half. Pushing it just right. That one awfully close. Very tough. So it looks like we are going to have a quick timeout here. The teams are going to huddle up. Again, this is an aspect that you were mentioning. A lot of us not very accustomed to, especially these players, having that extra time between the possessions to get to talk it over a little bit. And the Cromwell defense doing their job on their last drive forced the 3-and-out.
WHJE boasts years of pride and tradition. From the booth to the field, the WHJE sports team keeps you on the edge of your seats. Now the tradition continues. Join John Perkins, Jesse Smith, Vince Reimer, Alex Thomas, and Riley Sawyers for the Greyhound Halftime Show on 91.3 WHJE.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a great game so far, 12-6 in favor of Pike. You're listening to 91.3 WHJE, the only home of the Greyhounds. And folks, we've got a little bit of a score update here. Varsity football at Lawrence Central. Warren Central has 21 to Lawrence Central's nothing. Again in the third quarter, 9:38. So Warren Central coming off of a loss from the Greyhounds. But nice job to bounce back there. Now, folks, we did see them take a lead 28-0, and it was squandered 38-0. In fact, actually, where Pike was able to come back and pull off that victory. 38 unanswered points. So we see how deadly Pike is at times. Something you got to watch out for.
Absolutely, but they come out here with an early lead, 12-6. We have 8:05 remaining in the first half, and they have possession at their own 20-yard line. So touchback field position for them, pretty respectable, not terrible, but obviously not some of the field position they have had so far tonight. Cromwell defense doing a good job when they've had some field to work with, forcing the fourth down failed attempt there on their last drive. But this Cromwell defense really needs to step up here and get the Cromwell offense back on the field and keep their defense fatigued.
And you know, right there, Adam Kramer has given up 4 points there that he could have, you missing that extra point and then that field goal. And those are just easy points that you miss out on. And I don't want to take anything away from Adam Kramer because he's been spectacular ever since the Arsenal Tech game. But like we said, Jesse, during the pregame show, all it takes is one game of miscues, and you're down to a really solid team, you know? Talking about a sectional, if you're going into a sectional with teams like HSE, Fishers, and Noblesville, you can't make mental mistakes like that. You've got to be on your game and get up quickly, scoring margin. Otherwise, you're going to give a team that really doesn't have a shot a chance to put some points on the board, even contest.
And couple that with the fact that teams like Pike and a lot of these mid-conference teams are always in close games, it seems like, or comebacks. As Lyles is looking deep down the left side, has some room. That one's going to sail out of bounds. The coverage there by Jack Conway. Having the first shot we've seen downfield from Lyles, showing up the arm strength a little bit, 25 yards on a diagonal. With 7:59 remaining in the first half, it'll be 2nd and 10 from their own 20. They're lined up off that right hash. Keep an eye on Dominic Booth on the right side, lined up with Zach Woods. It looks like Mazza kind of sitting in that area too. Let's see if they try to go double coverage. Shotgun set as Mazza moved back into the rover. They give that one Sanders up the middle. He has plenty of space across the 30-yard line. He's going to be flipped over. He has enough for the first down after the gain of 11.
Good tackle by Mitch Davis to come up from that coverage, shooting the gap and tripping up the running back there. Again, you talked about it before. Anthony Mazza plays that rover position. Folks, for those of you, it's kind of a confusing word. Basically what it is it kind of doubles as a defensive end. Now, they can move him back kind of in that linebacker position. You see him playing offset now, but as he's crowding that line, it's a good another element to that line.
Makes the handoff now, looking over towards screen, finds his man, and he's going to be brought down after a solid game of about 6 or 7 yards. He hooks up with his receiver, Jared Roos, number 8, the first time we've called his name. But obviously a lot of these receivers showing off just the absolute acceleration, something that a lot of these defenders for Cromwell are not used to. So 3 wide set, split back shotgun. They try to go hard count. Cromwell not biting as they look over towards the sideline. Some very talented receivers on both ends of the ball here. He takes the snap this time, hands that one off to the tailback. That's Wilkerson heading towards that right sideline. We have penalty flags flying everywhere at about the 41-yard line. Alex Akins claps his hand. He would have had more than enough for the first down at the 46-yard line, but looks like this one's coming back. So 7:05 remaining in the first half. The game kind of slowing up a little bit. We will have holding against Pike. That's going to be 10 yards from the spot of the foul, which is the 41-yard line.
I think they're actually going to peg that on the wide receiver, number 1, Dominic Booth. So a rare mental mistake from Booth. He's not the kind of guy that makes those. Comparable to Austin Roberts' fumble there. Two guys who, you know, the 1 and 2 receivers here in the state, a lot of national spotlight on both of them. They have to come out here and obviously play their best game possible. Not just because of the national spotlight, but because of the level of athletes they really, really are.
4 wide set now for Lyles. They split the difference on the receivers. Wilkerson remains in the backfield from the shotgun now. He takes a snap, has time to throw. Now the blitz coming from Stetson, and he's going to hook up with his receiver. Has enough for the first down. He's wrestled at about the 46-yard line. Devin Pearson coming up, the senior wide receiver. A lot of senior wide receivers, a very deep receiving core, much like Cromwell for the Pike Red Devils. And that's going to inch them closer to Cromwell territory at their own 46, 1st and 10. So Lyles looking over towards the sideline now. They're coming back. True shotgun, 4 wide set. They split the difference. Off the left hash, they put a man in motion this time. Hands that one off to Wilkerson. He's going to be finally wrestled down by Mitch Davis, who's having himself quite a game in the tackles category after a gain of seven.
But you never really want to have to say that. Normally when a guy in your secondary is getting a lot of tackles, that means that the guys on the defensive line and the linebacking core are not, and there's a reason they're getting 6 and 7 yard gains each time.
They're trying to go hard count now. Jack Conway jogs off the field for Riley Smith, who's playing center field. Something interesting to note, Riley Smith also a center fielder on the baseball team, but he's playing way deep as a defensive back right now. They're in Carmel territory. Second and four, they try to go screen pass. They find his man at about the 41-yard line. He's going to have enough for the first down, moving to chains. Nice reception there made by Talfaro.
Brought down by Alex Aikens.
So Aikens on the tackle there as well. 6 minutes remaining in the first half. Clock stops with the first down at the 41-yard line of the Carmel Greyhounds. Will be that first down to 10 once again. Putting up a lot of yards in this first half, especially through the air. Pike, here comes the option now by Lyles. He's going to storm across to about the 38-yard line. Has himself about a gain of three, setting up the second and seven.
You know, when you got a guy like Brent Lyles, it's important to just look at his versatility. And really, the quarterback that can do what Isaac James and Lampe can only do separately. And kind of, we might even compare him to Michael Bigtrip, you know, the younger quarterback. But Lyles is having a heck of a game, you know. So unpredictable on the ground and even in the air.
Same formation now. He looks to pass screen over towards that right side. He's going to bring his man down, but not after the reception, and has enough for the first down. And that one is Rashad Medeiros coming up with his first reception of the night. We've seen him and a lot of movement in the backfield, almost kind of going with that Roberts mentality, bringing that receiver in for the possible option. But that'll be enough for the first down, again, after his first reception at the 31-yard line now. The Red Devils will come back out in that shotgun formation as they have most of this drive, surprisingly enough. Lyles directing it at the line of scrimmage. 5:10 remaining in the first half. Takes the snap. Blitz coming now. Takes a shot. That one is going to be incomplete. And a pressure dialed up there along with Wade Murdoch and Mitch Davis getting in the backfield in a hurry. So the clock stops at 5:06 remaining in the first half. Again, 12-6. Pike has the lead. Are trying to knock on the door of the red zone, but 2nd and 10 from the 31-yard line. Right hash. As the officials give the signal here. Lyles goes up to the line of scrimmage, making sure everyone's on the same page. Same four wide set from the shotgun. Two on each side for Lyles as they put Medeiros in motion. He gets the carry off the left tackle. Medeiros at the 30-yard line. He's going to be brought down at about the 26, and we got ourselves about a third and mid-range for Pike coming up. Wade Murdoch coming up with the tackle and a lot of linebackers. This is a very deep linebacking core for the Carmel Greyhounds. Whether you have Sonnels, you have Story, Lindgren, you can even throw Ma's name in there, and now you can toss in Murdoch.
Well, and even think about Nick Sinar, too, who's the second string for that Rover position under Mazza. The depth is just incredible. And even Burks. Burks plays linebacker at times, too, the sophomore. You just can't go wrong with this defense.
We are going to have ourselves a timeout here. Let's see from which side that will be Pike. That is their second of the half. And speaking of Burks, I have been impressed with the confidence that the coaches have on him in single coverage. I mean, he had that interception to seal the deal last week off of Jeff George in that Warren Central game. We've seen a lot of single coverage from him. They even put him on single coverage and a D1 recruit in Dominic Booth. So 4:26 remaining in the first half. Again, Pike holding on to that 6-point lead right now. Kind of at a stalemate the last several drives between both of these teams, but a 3rd and 6 and what would be a big stop for the Carmel Greyhounds and possibly giving their team back that possession with some time to work with and 3 timeouts and a half.
And let's go back to Noah Burks for a second, because he doesn't only play that offensive linebacker position. I just said offensive linebacker. There's no such thing as that, folks. Let me retract my statement there. Outside linebacker position, we're okay. But Noah Burks is one of those guys who can really play anywhere on the field. They throw him on that punt return and kick return coverage team, and he's so versatile. I love the way he plays. He's so fast, but you really got to watch out for him. He is an incredible punt blocker, and we have seen him get his hands on a few of those. We've seen him hurry the punter and create some short punts. He really is just a deep threat that they're actually going to have for 2 more years. He's only a sophomore. Played baseball back in the day, and just a really unique, solid kid. And that's what really impresses me about this Carmel team, is we've had the opportunity to get to know them for so long, and just so many well-behaved kids, a lot of guys that are just down to earth. They get it. They get that life isn't all about football, you know? But they come out here on the field, give 110%, and then they go back in school. I was talking to one of my buddies today, and he said, you know, I just want to be able to tell that Carmel football team that they don't just play for themselves and they don't just play for their brothers. They play for everyone in this community, and I think that is so true. If there's anything that you get out of this team this year, whether they win a championship or not, whether they win the whole thing or not, they have done so much for the community. Some of them aren't even aware of it. I just commemorate these guys. And I'm sure the same of Pike, too. That's the beauty of high school football.
You can almost kind of coin it the Greyhound way, if you will. A lot of these guys, all hustle and heart. You've been talking about Noah Burks. He is all hustle. He is all heart when he's out there on the football field. But they're going to need a lot of it here on this play. 3rd and 6 from the 27-yard line as Pike takes the snap, looking over the middle. That one, he has it complete. And he's going to be brought down at the 10-yard line. A great reception by Jared Ruth, and a lot of zip on that pass there from Lyles.
And a nice read there by Lyles. I mean, able to throw off Alex Akins. Akins taking a hard step into that. Got beat by the receiver on the slant. Credit Lyles for being able to pick that up and make a nice completion. The chains move forward.
And it will be a 1st and goal from the 10-yard line now. As they take the snap, they dump that one off to Booth. Booth heading towards that left sideline. He's not going to make it to the end zone. He's pushed out about the 5-yard line. Mitch Davis giving chase there. Also, Alex Akins loses his helmet a little bit, but he's going to jog off the field. That will bring up about a 2nd and 6 now, and goal to go. So 3:54 remaining here in the first half. A lot of time kicking off on this drive. That started back at the 20-yard line of Pike. Shotgun set, split backs, one on each side for him. He takes this one off the option, now dumps it off to Wilkerson. Wilkerson's going to go into the end zone for his 3rd rushing touchdown of the first half of this game. And just like that, it is 18-6 Pike. So 3:40 remaining in the first half. Let's see if they try to go for 2 again, or they like to go with the field goal kicker. But Dominic Booth is staying out there on the field, it appears. A lot of the offensive receivers and the tight end staying out there as well. Let's see if they try to go with the extra point attempt. It looks like that is what they're going to go with here to try to make it 19-6. And it will be Chase Watkins, number 99, first time we've seen him tonight. And this one's going to be a fake off the left side. He's going to try to run with it, throws it up into the end zone, and that one's going to be tipped away. And Alex Akins, on some great defense, is able to avoid the fake there. And that one was taken by Devin Pearson, kind of throwing that one up into the end zone. And it remains 18-6.
You know, I think these missed opportunities on the PATs and even the 2-point conversions, it's going to come back to bite Pike. Sooner or later, you just got to start kicking field goals. And you got to start kicking that PAT. You got to start kicking the ball. Because what's going to happen is you've scored about 4 times now. You only got 18 points on the board. You know you're going to score 5 times, 6 times, 7. Now you're going to only have like 20 points on the board. You got to start kicking the ball. Those things add up. And that's just giving Carmel opportunities to stay in the ball game, you know. And granted, they weren't able to themselves convert on their PAT. Adam Kramer missed that one, but that's uncommon. Kramer won't do that again. We know him. We know that he's one to come back and bounce back. And so, Jesse, the only reason I stress this so much is because we've been to so many games and we've seen so much football where it's come down to 3 points, and you can refer back to missed opportunities after that touchdown.
And something else I want to note about this game is the referral back to traditional football and the balance of this offensive attacks. We've seen a lot of shotgun formations from both teams, a lot of the flex bone, the wing tees. We start throwing those in there, we start seeing more traditional high school football. But we're talking traditional football here with the balance of these yardage. 111 passing yards and 99 rushing for Pike. And then you also have 75 passing yards for Carmel against the 57 rushing. So very traditional balance here.
But something else that's important to talk about is just that last drive for Pike. And until now, we really have not seen a defense or even an offense come in and score points on the defense and score them fairly. I guess the only really good picture of that was Center Grove, in which we saw 2 runs for about over 70 yards. 2 scores right there. That was really the poison for the Greyhounds. But Pike is working the ball well, and they're earning their points. And that's something that I'm really impressed with. Like, the defense is playing well. but the offense is just playing better. We haven't really seen that thus far, and I don't think that Greyhound defense has really seen it as well.
And you go back to that, you had those 2 9-yard rushes for touchdowns by Max Norris, as you mentioned, in that Center Grove game. But it's almost more damaging to a defense when the team starts at the 20-yard line and is able to take a lot of time off the clock, keep chipping away a fourth down conversion, 2 third-down conversions, and like you said, the offense is really starting to move.
And not only do they take time off the clock, but they take energy out of your defense. Fatigue is a factor that really hasn't played a part, but it might start to play, especially with the tardiness of the game, too.
And Perkins will be back deep to receive this one for the Carmel Greyhounds, and we've seen kickoff returns can really spark this Carmel team on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. Trailing by 12, the Carmel Greyhounds will have about 3:40 left in the first half as the kickoff is up and away. That one going over in the area. Perkins, he fields this one at about the 17. Perkins bursts through the hole at the 30. He's going to be brought down at the 34. So some good field position coming up, and it looks like Isaac James might be heading out into that huddle. So we'll see who comes out to play quarterback here. As far as time management goes, we saw Lampy there on that last drive, had 2.5 minutes remaining in the ball game, converted on the 4th and 20, 4th and 7. We all know that story. But time management is something that Lampy is one of his strong points.
You know, the question I kind of asked myself as Isaac James runs out here from that huddle to champion his team is, you know, I kind of question sometimes, why are you putting James in that quarterback position when Lampy is delivering? We'll see why.
So flex bone set for James as he hands that one up the middle to Shakir Pascal. Kind of moves himself through that scrum as he gets about 5 yards there on first down, setting up a 2nd and 5 at the 40. So good run there by Pascal. Again, 2nd and 5. The official spot is at the 39-yard line off that left hash. Clock keeps ticking away. 3:15 remaining in the first half. Carmel trailing by 12. Will come back out in the flex bone. 2 out to his right. Tries to go hard count. They move Perkins in motion this time. Keeps this one. Quarterback keeper shakes a couple tacklers. Shakes a couple more. He's going to be brought down. Forward progress will get him to the 42-yard line. 3rd and short coming up for the Hounds. So 3rd and 2, it looks like, will be the official after the gain of 3. Quarterback keeper for James. 2:50 remaining in the first half as James looks over at the sideline. From the 42-yard line, that left hash. They're going same formation. He has Baldwin and Baldridge out to his right. Pascal remains as the down back in the backfield. Perkins moves in motion. Now he has to look over towards that sideline now for additional signaling as James will call it at the line of scrimmage. Perkins resets. James goes back under center. They put Roberts in motion this time. And the handoff is to Shakir Pascal. He bounces off a couple tacklers. Still going on his feet at the 45-yard line. At the 40 to 35, refusing to be brought down until he is at the 32. And Shakir Pascal with a very impressive run.
I like to see Isaac James here start moving the tempo up a little bit more. Start rolling on Pike. Try to catch him off guard a little bit. You've got that momentum going with that nice run by Shakir Pascal. It'd be a shame here to slow the ball down and let Pike reset.
So James wasting no time getting to the line of scrimmage, as you just mentioned. They split the receivers this time, one on each side. Same formation from that flex bone. Approaching 2 minutes and counting here in the second quarter. James under center. They put Perkins in motion this time. James will keep this one. Quarterback keeper up the middle. Bursts through the hole at the 20-yard line. Shakes a couple more tacklers. Stiff arm into the end zone. Isaac James has himself a 32-yard rushing touchdown. And what athleticism. The combination of the stiff arm and the speed makes it a one-possession game once again.
So Isaac James grabbing his 4th rushing touchdown of the season so far. Answer my question right there, Jesse. Why do you put Isaac James in? Because he can make things happen. Because he can counter that passing attack of John Lampy. He can catch a defense off guard. And now he can bring your team within 6 points right here, 12-18. Pike's got the lead, but Adam Kramer might be able to tack on another one and bring it to 5.
And had just probably about 95% of the people here fooled off that read option. Everybody looking at Shakir Pascal and Chris Perkins as Kramer's extra point attempt is up, and this one is good. And that one makes it a 5-point game once again. So a touchdown will put the Greyhounds back into the lead. But wasting no time off the clock. Less than 2 minute drive for the Hounds. There's 1:55 remaining in the first half. Pike still remains leading 18-13.
I think you're seeing great examples of great play calling and coaches really doing a good job of spreading out both sides of the ball for either team.
So 2 minute drill coming up, and Lyles has shown he has been very efficient so far on any side of the ball that you ask him to do. You want him to run the read option, he can run the read option. You want him to pass, he has 111 passing yards in the first half for you. So definitely be looking for them to strike here, not going conservative before the end of the half.
I think on that last drive, you know, one of the keys that Pike has to kind of overcome as a defense is against Lawrence North, they had a tough time getting going. You know, and I wrote, you can't be slow against a team like Carmel, and right there, weren't able to get set to the line. Isaac James is moving the ball forward, caught him off guard with that read option, and James just takes it right up the middle. And the speed of Isaac James, you're not going to catch him when he gets out in the open.
A couple stiff arms by Isaac James, kind of showing off the tailback mentality and relinquishing his inner Chris Perkins there. A couple stiff arms, a couple broken tackles into the end zone. One possession game. Kramer with the kickoff. This one up and away. A knuckler back towards the 2-yard line. Stays in play as Booth will take it up the middle. Booth tries to shake a couple tacklers and great kickoff coverage by the Carmel Greyhounds here as Luke Parker is going to make the initial contact. Also give credit to Cameron Hunt there on the assist on that tackle. But plenty of time left and some modest field position for the Pike Red Devils in the timeout. Keep in mind, this will also come into play possibly at the end of both halves here, is that the clock does stop after each first down.
1:51.
Much like the college rules there. As Lyles comes out, 4-wide set, 2 on each side. He's got a tailback right next to him. That one's Wilkerson. Lyles will take the snap, has time to pass, looking over the middle, finds his man. And let's see if they're going to call that one a reception. That one's going to be incomplete. He trapped it right before he's able to get to it. Incomplete pass. That'll bring up 2nd and 10 from the 21. So now 1:45 remaining here in the first half. The clock will stop. 2nd down on the way. Again, they're lined up off that right hash as Lyles goes back into the huddle. Looks like they're going back. 4-wide set they bring. It looks like Sanders back into the game as the tailback to his right. Lyles now lined up in the middle of the field. Takes the snap. Mazza showing blitz. He does. Now looking over towards that right side. Finds his man. He's going to be wrestled down at about the 28-yard line. A good reception there by Jared Ruth. He called his name a couple of times over the last couple drives, but nonetheless, 3rd and 3 on the way.
And Ruth just got possibly a reception taken away from him. The referee said no, but made it right there with a nice reception there. So now a 3rd and short here. And there's going to be a timeout on the Greyhound side of the ball. So they're going to talk this one over. A big 3rd down here, Jesse. Again, ball on about the 29-yard line. Still in Pike territory. Again, 1:25 here in the half. We talked about it before, kind of the 2-minute drill. But Pike's got that 18-13 lead. Man, how bad does Carmel need the stop here? Potentially just to keep it at a 5-point game. But if they're able to make a stop here on 3rd down, you might see the ball punt back to Carmel. They might be able to drive it downfield enough. We saw John Lampe with a perfect example of an incredible 2-minute drill against Warren Central on a 4th and 20, completed a pass over the middle to Austin Roberts. Then on about a 4th and 17 again, was able to chuck it up over to Thomas Baldwin on the left side of the field, which again set up that Chris Perkins score, which took the ball game in Greyhounds' favor.
Absolutely. You know, you think about it, and you also have to look, 3rd and 3, Pike has been going for it on 4th down, very aggressive. They've been going for 2 all night. Wouldn't surprise me, even if they weren't able to convert here, if they were going to stay out there for the 4th down. We have another quick score update coming up for you. Some Hamilton County news as Garen Catholic falls to Bishop Chittard 24-0. 3rd down and 3, 4-wide set as Lyles has 2 receivers on each side. The handoff is up to middle, and he's going to be brought down at about the 30-yard line. He looks to be short of the 1st down, just trying to eyeball it here, as Sanders looks like he didn't quite make it. Regardless, both teams staying out onto the field. He has a 4th and inches on the way.
3rd and 1.
So what could be a huge 4th down at their own 30-yard line. We give the Carmel Greyhounds an excellent field position. They're stacking the box right now. Looks like they're putting Story right up, and they try to go hurry up here. He's going to possibly have enough. He will actually have enough for the 1st down off the quarterback keeper. So that'll stop the clock. 1:15 remaining here in the first half. And Pike now in business, has some time to work with. Only 1 timeout for them as opposed to the 2 for the Carmel Greyhounds. So they couldn't go with 3 stops here and hope for the punt. Lyles takes the snap, blitz coming off the side, steps up in the pocket, and that one's going to be caught by Sanders. Little miscommunication, but it's going to end up working. Brought down at the 47-yard line. 2 guys in there could have made that catch, but Sanders ends up making it. Devin Pearson also in the neighborhood, and the Red Devil offense is starting to move at the 47-yard line, trying to knock on Greyhound territory. Minute three remaining, clock stops. Now starts again with the ball set. Takes the snap, Lyles has time to throw. Looks deep over that left side, finds his man, that's Pearson. Pearson steps out at the 36-yard line of the Carmel Greyhounds. And now some hurry up as the clock is going to stop here. Clock didn't initially stop. They're probably going to add a few more seconds back for the Pike Red Devils offense.
So again, seeing Booth now come on the field, that's the first time this drive thus far. They're doing a great job hitting guys like Devin Pearson and again like Taylor Sanders, making some things happen on that passing game. And that's really where it comes into play, is when you don't have to hit your star receiver, you really begin to open things up for that offense. And again, it's so nice because you're not one-sided, you're not predictable. And that's the same story with the Greyhounds. They haven't had to rely on Austin Roberts. He's just been an incredible weapon. It's the same story here for Pike. They haven't had to rely on Dominique Booth, but he's a great weapon to go to, and now we see him on the field. Be looking for him with only 48 seconds left in this first half.
With a five-point lead, you know they're going to want to try to make this a two-possession game before the end of the half. They have plenty of time to do so. With the clock stop rule after each first down and a timeout, they're going to add significant time back onto the clock. That's about 7-8 seconds to make it 56 even for the Pike Red Devils to work with at the 37-yard line of the Carmel Greyhounds. They line up off of that left hash and go with their traditional four-wide shotgun set. Two on each side for Lyles, takes the snap, looks over. That one almost picked off, but taken up by Pearson. He's going to have himself about a gain of 9 yards there, as it looked like Mazza almost got his hands on it. So a quick slant there makes it only about 5 seconds off the clock. 51.7 is the official. Second and seven as he heads out of bounds. The clock stops, and now we'll start with the ball set. He takes the snap, looking, trying to look over towards that right side. That one's going to slip through his receiver's hands. Had the target. That one was intended for Quentin Talfero. We'll bring up a third and about three. So big third down coming up here for both teams. You got to believe this is, would you say this is four down territory here for the Pike Red Devils?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, you're past the 40-yard line, man, and you've only got 47 seconds here in the half. I'm taking a shot downfield. I don't care if it's fourth and 20 or fourth and two.
He has some time to throw. Now pressure coming from Burks. He's going to chase him down. Going to be awfully close to that first down marker. He has enough to gain a couple of yards, but it's going to be awfully close to the first down. He's going to be just short. Noah Burks coming up big again to force the fourth and one.
No, Dad, I think you got to go for it here. You know, 3 points, you're pretty far away from that field goal, and both teams have been struggling from that field goal range thus far. I think it's a smart decision. Go ahead and try to pound the ball up maybe against that defense. You've got an offensive line who's big, who's powerful, and they've shown that they can make things happen. Maybe even run that play action. Try to get Nick McGrath open.
He's going to try to push it up the middle, almost loses the football. He's not going to be able to make it there. And the Carmel Greyhounds make the fourth down stop, and at the very least hold Pike from getting some more points before the end of the half. And now 35 seconds and two timeouts. We've seen the Carmel Greyhounds be able to move it down the field awfully quickly.
You know, and I think, honestly, you could take the draw right here and catch Pike off guard. I think if you even it out here, two wide receivers to your right, two to your left, go in the pistol formation here, set Perkins back behind you. Bring John Lampe in the game. I think, you know, maybe, see, as we're saying, John Lampe's coming on the field. I'd like to see them maybe try a draw or something like that. Almost kind of fake the shot downfield. Everybody's going to be expecting it with 35 seconds. You might be able to get some yards here.
They're going four wide set from the shotgun. He has three out to his left. Watch for Roberts there in the slot as he's going to now move out to the outside. Way out to Lampy's left. Lampy has time to throw downfield. Now has to roll out to his right. Now under a little bit of pressure. Finds Roberts over the middle. First down at the 40-yard line, and he heads out of bounds. The official spot will give him at the 41. So gain of 11 there on the first play, and only a few seconds running off the clock. 27.5 remaining. Again, they still have those two timeouts.
This is where John Lampe is so deadly. He's able to work that two-minute drill so well. Again, 27 seconds. That's enough time for Lampe to get some points on the board.
Clock will remain stopped with the ball set. Four wide set, two on each side. Perkins in the backfield looks towards sideline. Roberts is trying to get his way out of bounds. It looks like he will. Gains a few yards, gets to about the 43-yard line, so gain of two. But not even a full 2 seconds coming off the clock on that play. So gaining a couple yards, positive yardage, moving forward. And Lampe goes back into the shotgun set. Same formation. Roberts moves to the slot this time rather than the exterior. Perkins remains in the backfield from his own 43 off the right hash. Lampe will take the snap. Looks over the middle. That one's going to be intercepted by Pike. He's racing back. Lampe's the last one to beat, and he is going to go into the end zone as he stumbles, and that one's going to be a return right back into the end zone for the Pike Red Devils. That one being taken back by the outside linebacker number 39, Quentin Moon, the junior, comes up with what looked like a one-handed interception, it seemed like, is able to corral it in. And just like that, the aggressiveness by the Cromwell Greyhounds trying to air it out backfires 24-13.
And not only was that interception, that was John Lampe's first interception on the season. And if you're going to intercept an incredible quarterback like John Lampe, why not go all the way? And he did. 6 points on the board here. It looks like they're going to go conservative, try to kick the field goal and get the full seven. But again, it looks like by the end of this field goal, PAT, we're going to have a 25-13 lead in favor of Pike with only 12 seconds before half.
And the hold is up, the kick is up, and that one looks to split the uprights there, so it does make it 25-13. But again, we go back to that, and the drive looking so promising for the Cromwell Greyhounds. They had some time to work with, and in that case, we've seen 90% of teams going for it, trying to be aggressive, getting those extra points, and it's worked out for the Cromwell Greyhounds for the most part. That's really the first time I can remember that the two-minute drill kind of not phasing out like the Cromwell Greyhounds had planned.
And just the energy of this stadium on the Carmel side has just been sucked out like that. It's like that flame that can just be snuffed out so quickly. And you don't really expect it from John Lampe. He's kind of that guy that has almost seemed perfect this season. Really had quite the comeback to that quarterback position. Done a great job of starting to complete some passes and make some things happen and air it out a little bit. But just like that, you know, interception can be returned for a touchdown, and the momentum can shift like that. And so now Pike's going to be playing with the advantage. But again, folks, you've got an incredible returner in Chris Perkins. 12 seconds left. The half's not over yet.
And also, you got to know, you know, if you're John Lampe, you got to go back out there in the second half if he doesn't come back out on the field here before the end of the first half. Even Peyton Manning, with 20 touchdown passes this year, has thrown an interception. That's his first. Something to be proud of as it lasted that long. As Perkins has some room now. 40-yard line, cuts back middle of the field. He's going to be finally brought down at about midfield. And 5 seconds now remaining in the first half. And, John, is this a situation where you're taking a stab at the end zone?
No, I'm taking a knee. 5 seconds left. Take the knee. Go into halftime with your head held high. I don't think it's worth the shot downfield, possibly getting an interception here. And, again, Pike playing that prevent defense all the way to the next end zone, I guess you can say.
It looks like they're going to spread out the offense here. Four wide set for the Cromwell Greyhounds. Three out to his right. Perkins still remains in the backfield, but exactly at midfield, Lampe has the arm. As he takes the snap, they're looking to air this one out. Under pressure, rolling out to his right now. Looking for anywhere to throw it. He just heaves this one up in the air down the field, and that one is going to be batted down before the end of the half. That one was near about the 15-yard line, and that one was intended for Colin Pearson, but that is the end of the first half, and the Pike Red Devils come in, and they are leading 25-13.
So we're going to send it back to the station here for some quick tunes. Be sure to come back. We're going to be doing the Greyhound Halftime Show. I'll be joined, of course, by Vince Reimer, Alex Thomas, and Riley Sawyers with me and Jesse Smith. Thanks for listening to First Half Action here. You're listening to 91.3 WHJE, the voice of the Greyhounds.